Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 67 from May the 8th of 1993. We are still in Knox Central High School in Barberville, Kentucky. Doc, how are you doing this week?
Well, as always, pal, I am blessed, and I am planning for the next hour or so to be a complete and total blessing to all my little duckaholics out there.
Why you gotta call them a little?
Well, how can I be big if they're not little?
Harper, how are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
Can I call you Dr. Mike?
Can I call you Dr. Mike since you got an associate's degree?
You may not call me doctor.
Okay.
You may not call me doctor. That's it? That's what y'all got from the opening this week, right?
We prefer to put the emphasis on the in-ring product, something that you wouldn't know anything about.
That's so we're not gonna start the show like Raw with a 40-minute promo?
No.
Why would we want to do that? I really do like that. All right, well, we'll get into things, man. We are May the 8th of 1993, episode number 67. Things are steamrolling right along in the Smoky Mountain. We're about to head into summer. Volunteer Slam, Last Tango in Tennessee, whatever the heck it's called. And Bob and Dutch open up the show. Once again, Dutch's sign says, Dutch for U.S. Senate, but he's added some signs that say, Bob for Dog Catcher. Main event this week will be Jimmy Golden versus Stan Lane. Yes, we incorrectly said that we were done with Golden and Fuller a few weeks back. We said that last week. And Killer Kyle versus Primetime Brian Lee for the Beat the Champ TV title. Been a while since we've seen Kyle in a match that I can recall. Doc, any thoughts from the opening with Dutch and Bob?
Good to see Kyle back in. He has a good match later. I'm just going to say that. And let's go to the ring. We spent too much time talking about things that aren't wrestling last week. I'm here for the wrestling, pal.
Me too. Harper, any thoughts from the opening before we go to the match with the Avenger versus Dixie?
Let's go.
So we go to the first match. It's the Avenger versus Dixie Dynamite. Last week, the Avenger had to face Mr. Confederacy, Tracy Smothers. And this week, he's opening with Dixie Dynamite. So that's a hell of a combination. The Confederacy lives on in the Great Smoky Mountains. So anyway, we get into this match, and Cottle at the start says, look, Dutch, we've got two masked men in this one, to which Dutch says, that's a very astute observation. Even Stevie Wonder could say that one. Any thoughts on that before I go to...
Well, do you know who Stevie Wonder is?
You fuck, you asshole.
Who is he?
Yeah, name one song.
Yeah.
Ribbon in the Sky?
That's Billy Ocean.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Caravan Queen.
I used to like that guy, man. He had some soul, bro.
He looked just like Michael Finley from the Mavericks.
No, Finley looked like him.
No.
Bet y'all didn't know I knew who Billy Ocean was, huh?
No.
Come on, Harper, tell the truth. Man, you know in the 80s, that dude's songs were like... That shit was popping off. Everybody was playing that. Maybe not in the Smoky Mountains. Never mind. He wasn't the right shade in Smoky Mountain. Okay.
Nope.
What?
Any thoughts on the comments other than Doc quizzing me on who Stevie Wonder was?
No.
Well, Tammy comes out during the match to do some scouting, it appears, and Tammy has a Parade magazine with Hillary Clinton on it. She's really looking to generate some heat with that one even 25 years later. Like Doc
Parade.
Says, Rock. That was that.
Do they still have that? Because I remember that would come in a Sunday paper.
I think so. Doc will do some research on the fly.
Well, who gets a Sunday paper?
Yeah. Nowadays,
I get it. I clip me some coupons.
Yeah, oh, bro.
I go to the dollar store.
Motherfucker, bro.
Harper, I don't know if that's a shoot or not, but I am a coupon clipping motherfucker.
I love coupons.
Bruh, coupons are the bomb. Let me tell you, and people go, who gets a Sunday paper? There's this place called the Dollar Tree. They sell them for a dollar here. So if I spend $1 on a newspaper on a Sunday, One, I get my sports section, even though it's some Cowboys bullshit in there. I still like to peruse the sports section. Two, I get coupons, and I'm going to save about $3 to $5 in coupons from every Sunday's paper. So, yes, I'm a coupon-clipping motherfucker.
Okay, pal. How much gas did you spend to get down to the Dollar Tree to pick that up?
I drive a hybrid, asshole, and it's right around the corner from my house. Any other questions?
God, you're a fag.
Dude, he doesn't drive a fucking hybrid. What he's trying to say is he tried to strap a boat motor onto a skateboard.
I do. I mean, it's no secret. I drive a Kia Optima hybrid, and Doc knows I'm telling the truth.
God.
I will post a picture on my Twitter if you don't believe me.
It was trying to go up a couple of weeks ago, too.
Why do black chicks like you?
Well, they do.
Do you really want me to answer that question, partner?
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He's like a black guy without all the risk.
Wow.
Doc.
That's nice.
That's so wrong. Okay. So, like we were going back to say, somehow we went from Tammy Hillary Clinton getting heat. Even 25 years later in the Smoky Mountains, to a discussion about what I drive and coupon clipping. Yes, I do drive. I do drive a hybrid, and I also clip coupons. And like Harper said, it's a way to save money. But anyway, Dutch and Bob, I got to be honest, they're paying no attention to the match. They're talking about anything and everything but the match. It doesn't take long. Dixie lands a Confederate kick, knocks off the Avenger's head, gets the win. Doc, any thoughts on the match?
I did hear Bob say, well, I guess we know what side of the aisle she's on. It's funny because Bob was a big Republican, worked with Jesse Helms and all that. So keep that in mind when the gangsters show up.
Yeah, I think we talked about that on the flagship show a while back. Harper, any thoughts on the match?
Well, during the promo, did you notice when she mentions Hillary?
Wait, Dixie and Tammy?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to play it. I got it queued up. I'll throw it to you first. I'm about to play the promo right now.
All right.
After I play it, I'll throw it to you.
Now, let's go by. There's some people here at the desk here. Bob, handle this.
I'm going to try, Dutch. Fans right here with me now, and we mentioned earlier, Tammy Fitch, the young lady that has filed that sexual discrimination suit against Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and hey, you grabbed a guy by the hand and just led him right on over here. What have you got in mind?
Well, I just had a brilliant idea. In this article about my idol, Hillary Clinton, she says that she saw the greatness in Bill before anyone else did. It's because she's a genius, kind of like me. So, I figured I'd sign up a wrestler with not much obvious greatness, take him from the bottom and see what I can do with him. Build him up and let's see. So, Dixie, just sign this contract. We'll get rid of all that silly Southern stuff and I'll take you straight to the top.
Well, ma'am, let me say this. The way I was raised to treat a lady like a lady. But from what you've just said to me, if you were a man, I would handle this a little bit differently. But male or female, the answer is not only no, but hell no.
Well, that's any way you want to look at it, that's a flat rejection.
Well, I guess it takes a real man to be led by a woman.
Oh, my heavens. All right, fans, we're going to be back right after this.
Okay, Harper, you wanted to say something about this, so yeah, I know where you're going. Go ahead.
When she says, I think it's when she says Hillary Clinton is her idol, Bob, like, rolls his eyes like, bitch, you crazy. and nowadays, she would be the face, and all of them would be heels if they did this now.
Depends on what part of the country it was done in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's going to depend. It will depend where you're at, though. I think if you do this where they're doing it right now, in Barberville.
Same thing.
I think you get this. I think you get the same reaction. I think you'd have people be like, you'd probably hear a lock her up chant.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's true.
In this part of town, it would be lock her up. I mean, you'd get a chant going. It wouldn't be this is awesome, which actually in itself is actually really cool that you could get a lock her up chant if you started, you know, promoting Hillary and that was your idol. Like, I think that. That would be much better than a "This Is Awesome" chant, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Doc, your thoughts on this promo?
Did she say she was going to have Dixie take it in the bottom?
Man, there's a whole lot that went on in this that I don't know. I caught
from the bottom. From the bottom. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. From the bottom.
I thought she was previewing her future career. Silly Southern stuff popped me, and then I don't understand why calling his stuff silly is enough for him to want to pop her if she was a guy. But whatever. Dude, she just, at this point, being as green as she is and reciting lines, she sounds like a bad porn actress if you just listen. And maybe she should ask Bobby Blaze. She could take him to the top or get on top or something.
Oh, okay. I hope people caught that. Let's keep going. Rock and Roll Express are up next. They're going to cut a promo. This is a quick one. Let's hear what they got to say.
Fans, with me right now, here's the Rock and Roll Express, Rick, Robert. Hey, tonight's the night. It all comes down to the volunteer slam, the rage in the cage, and this is it, Rick.
That's right, Bob. Tonight's the night right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. But you see, you got to understand one thing. We know when we step in the ring in this Rage in the Cage that the Heavenly Body is going to do everything possible to hurt one of the Rock and Roll Express, because the following week in Johnson City, it's a loser leave town match. But remember one thing, Jimmy Cornette, we are here to stay, and I believe it's going to be one of your Heavenly Bodies that you're going to have to carry back to the dressing room tonight.
Yeah. All right, fans, it comes down tonight in Knoxville. All right, we're going to have more action.
Doc, anything on that one?
I don't know if you know this about them, but they're not here to play. They're here to stay.
Yeah, I've heard that a million times. At this point, it is kind of wearing thin.
Yeah.
Harper, anything from that?
No. The only good thing is we didn't hear Robert.
Wow.
Mouthful of crackers. That's nice, Harper. That's nice.
He's going to put something on you that Ajax won't wash off.
That's right.
The only purpose behind that maybe a little more than 30-second promo was that the fact that the whatchamacallit is that night, the Rage in the Cage is that night, so they're just trying to one last push. Hey, you're listening to this. You're watching this on Saturday morning. Come on out. Come see us if you're in the area. We're
drink a few beers, see some fights, right, and maybe bang a rat or two.
That's right. After that promo, they promo the last tangle in Tennessee again. It's just the same thing as last week. I'm going to make a statement. In a way, this is a little bigger than Rage in a Cage, because tonight you got Rage in a Cage, but 6 days from now, you got two of the great tag teams of this promotion going to war one more time, where somebody is going to be sent packing. Doc, anything from that before we move on to Bobby Blaze and Dirty White Boy?
Somebody's going to be sent packing.
Yes. Harper, you?
Someone's going to be permanently gone.
And no mask. That's the key. You got to remember, no, they cannot come back with a mask, so you won't see like a Stagger Lee, Midnight Rider, or whatever type of gimmick where somebody's back. They are going to be gone for good. Right after that, I said there's a match. It's Bobby Blaze versus the Dirty White Boy. So we got our friend Bobby Blaze again against DWB, the Dirty White Boy. Dirty White Boy comes out with some Krylon spray paint. And, he comes out with the can again. And then I've got a bit of – I said last week I had a Ron Wright on commentary. I got it twisted. This is Ron Wright on commentary. Let me play it. Must hear info on commentary on why the South lost the Confederate War from Ron Wright.
We just decided we got so many of these peoples, you know, after we moved to the North, got up where all of these good, upstanding Southern Yankee people are, we've realized just how sorry and trashy and low down these Southern people down here in the South really is. You know, it's no wonder they lost the war the way they did. If all of the Southern people is like Tracy Smothers and back in the wartime, they all probably tucked their tail and run back south and hid somewhere.
All right, now, I notice in your lap right here, while the white boy's in the ring with a yellow paint, you got a white flag. Does that mean you're going to be waving that white flag when,
Bob, let me
when
tell
the dirty
you
white boy
meets I've got Tracy the heart of stone. The dirty white boy will kick Tracy Smothers so bad, he probably won't even wind up in the South. He'll probably wind up completely down in South America somewhere. And I look for Tim Horner to come down with bad arthritis like I've got from swinging that flag so much before the match is over and before the dirty white boy gets done with Tracy Smothers.
Dutch, it looked right there like maybe he could have gone ahead and pinned Blaze, but he did not. The white boy got that big knee.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Anything from Ron Wright there on commentary?
Facts are facts.
Boy, oh God.
That motherfucker doesn't know about the South. He didn't know about the Civil War. He didn't know anything about it.
It was fought for slavery.
It was states' rights and sovereignty. Read your Constitution, jackass.
I'm not getting into this discussion. It will go wrong.
Heritage, not hate.
Right.
I am
If we don't take down those statues that we put up 60 years after the war, how will black people remember to know their place in society?
Jesus Christ. Boy, you this are digging fun. Into the people into the Smoky Mountains right
this
now.
This is fun. We should start a politics
podcast.
That's where the real territory gets booked in life anyway.
So this is hilarious, though, because Ron is on commentary, and that was so funny when he says they all tucked their tail between their legs and ran just like that Tracy Smothers. I came unglued when Ron dropped that line.
I like the line more about Horner getting arthritis from all the flag waving he's going to do.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too. That was good, too.
Because I'm not Harper, here for the politics. I'm here for the wrestling.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. The problem is...
Well, we ought to also ask Bobby how hard... We could actually find out our question from last week of how hard it is to get spray paint off, because we know somebody who got spray painted.
Well, here's the other part, too. You're talking about politics, and I always say it's a politics-free zone. It's so hard to not talk about politics or not get somewhat political when Ron Wright's bringing up the goddamn flag in the war right now in the Confederacy.
And you know why he's doing it? For the same
fucking reason
we're doing it. Because it still triggers these motherfuckers and elicits a fucking reaction. Novel concept about psychology there, pal.
I just wish they'd do it in current wrestling nowadays. I mean, can you imagine if people went the political route in wrestling?
Bruh.
They can't because the biggest company is in the goddamn cabinet at the White House.
Isn't
that crazy?
That's not why. That's not why they can't do it. It has nothing to do with Linda.
No, it's shareholders. But here's the thing, and I told you immediately what would be an award-winning angle, and you go, yeah, but they can't do it. You take Eric Embry. Hearing him on podcast, he's got that same Southern Kentucky top drawl. And you put him in a fucking wheelchair and you take him to ROH and you have a stable of guys that are going to bring back Southern wrestling, and that shit would go over like a fucking $1 million.
You couldn't even do
He's
it there.
The new Ron
nobody,
Wright.
Nobody wants to push the envelope. Tracy does it on the freaking Indies with the Confederate flag, but
that's why I told you that we're getting a ring and we're starting a promotion.
No, we're not. What were you saying, Harper?
I love pushing the fucking envelope.
It's what I said it like, I don't know if it was last week on this show or 2 weeks ago on this show or the flagship. Nobody wants to push the envelope. How can we get heat?
That's why these fairies out here listening to us get all worked up is because nobody else in wrestling pushes their buttons anymore.
Well, nobody in podcasting wants to do it because they think they're going to lose listeners. And it's like, fuck it, man. They just
fucking leave. I don't give a shit. I don't know how many of you are out there anyway, and it's not like I'm getting paid for this shit.
Yeah, right. What do you got to lose?
I just want to come yell at you for an hour so I feel better about my own life and don't want to do the goddamn Von Erich thing.
The South will rise again, brother. Give me some of those Coors Yellow Bellies, you stupid sumbitch.
Okay. Let's move on. So, Dirty White Boy does win this match, back to things. And Bobby Blaze actually takes a very nice backdrop in this match. Got a lot of air. I wanted to point that out. So, Bobby's a good worker, though. And Dirty White Boy hits Bobby with the Buck Snort Blaster and then spray paints a yellow streak down Bobby's back before Smothers does save Bobby. Any other thoughts, Doc, before we move on to the next promo?
Well, he's from Ashland, Kentucky. I would have thought he'd have been born with that yellow streak down his back.
Bobby. That's so wrong, you asshole.
Oh. Nobody knows how to cut promos anymore.
Yeah, you got a point there. Harper, anything else from you about the match and the ending?
I tell you, he took that fucking DDT, and that shit looked fucking nice.
Yeah, he did. Did you hear Bob Caudle when he took it, too?
Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Caudle did a great job on commentary. He's like, oh, like yeah. you could feel it through him. But you're right, Bobby nailed it. Oh man, he took that DDT great. I'm telling you, the DDT and then the backdrop he took, he was floating.
Yeah,
he was floating. Speaking of backdrops, Doc, did you see ROH when Christopher Daniels took that one on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian.
He got so high up in the air, I thought he was going to kick the lights on the ceiling, pal.
Good God. He was floating. Okay, so we go from Bobby Blaze losing to Dirty White Boy. There's a local promo. I don't have the timestamp. Doc, did you have anything from the Rock and Roll Express and Tracy Smothers?
The only note I have, and it's not worth playing it, is that Tracy Smothers still doesn't know when and how to get off a camera or on camera at the right time. but whatever.
Yeah.
That's a small bit.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they were in like a closet or something, like a small room. Because, Harper, you know, I've done it at these independent shows where you're like doing stuff and you're cutting a promo for on the camera. And you don't have a lot of space in some of these buildings you work in. Literally, you're in a room with 10, 12 other people, and there's just not enough space. And I'm wondering, like, if he just didn't have enough space to move, so he thinks he's off and he's as far away as he can be. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Because I've had that happen where it's like, where else can I go?
Look, guys, I'm as far over as I can get.
Guys, what you want me to do, man? I mean, I'm sitting right here, you know, I'm fucking, bruh.
Look,
I got my dick smashed up against the wall over here.
I'm not busting or rusting, but you know, I'm over here as far as I can go.
Yes, man. Shit, man. Damn.
I got some dip in my lip and
Harper, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes.
Dude, you're in like a crevice of a corner of a room with a freaking big ass light shining down on you and a camera, and
in a corner somewhere.
And the audience can't tell that you're literally in a space that you can't move because they just see what's being shown to them. So I don't know if that was what was going on here or not, but it definitely may appear that way. So after the local promo, now we get this is going to be two parts. So I'm gonna play the first part and then give me a second. I'll fast forward to the second part.
All right, fans, with me right now, Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed Southern boy. I tell you, you saved Blaze up there from what happened to you last week right here.
You know something, Dirty White Boy? That was a stinking, nothing-happening, cowardly thing to do, man. Anybody that paint yellow, you all saw what he did to me last week. And then he takes a young man that's trying to get started in professional wrestling and tries to do the same dadgum thing to him, Bob Caudle.
All right, I'll tell you what. Right now, let's go back. Let's show the fans. Let's take a look at what happened to you right here last week.
All right, so they replay right there what happened to him or to Tracy when he got the spray paint, you know, the yellow streak painted down his back. But Doc, did you have anything from his promo before they throw it to that?
It's not his fault because there's a lot of other ones that do this too, but that whole Southern nothing happening individual sounds like from Happy Days and shit. Like we're going to go down to the malted shop and shit.
Harper, anything from you before I play the rest?
No, play it.
Okay, here's the rest of it here after they show the replay.
That's exactly what happened to you with that big yellow streak sprayed right down the back.
You know, I see that tape right there, and that makes me sick. You know something? Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed Southern boy, has wrestled all over the world, but never, ever have I seen a man with laurel morals and values than the dirty white boy. Hey, white boy! I've been called a lot of things, I've done a lot of things, and I've said a lot of things. But by God, one thing they never called Tracy Smothers was a coward. Let me tell you something. You want to fight, you got to fight. Coward waves a flag, big boy. I'm looking at you. I ain't going east, I ain't going west. I'm going north and south, and I'm going to kick your butt like your mama should have done a long time ago, because I've been downwind of you, and I know why they call you the dirty white boy. I've got something you want, the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title, something you cherish more than anything in the world. You come and try to get it, because I'm going to kick your butt like you should have been done a long time ago.
All right, right now, let's go to the ring for more action.
You know, he's wearing out that I ain't going east and west, I'm going north and south, but I actually like it. It's worn out, but I like it. Doc, what were your thoughts on that? Oh, go ahead, Hopper.
He is wearing out all his little sayings, but he gets over. They respond to it.
He needs some more country fried sayings. He needs to warble out some sayings and then deep fry them, and then they'll be ready for these people.
Yeah, some like Dr. Phillips.
Okay. Doc, your thoughts?
I just told you my thoughts. His shit's okay. Starting to get a little old.
All right. Mm-hmm. Tracy will whip your ass, though, so be careful there.
Well, I know. I love Tracy Smothers, though. He's got, man, he needs to get back over to the Thugs. That shit never gets old. That shit's funny.
I mean, you know what I did this week? I re-listened to him cut that, his podcast episode where he talks about Sonny.
Yeah.
That shit is so funny. Tracy's so worked up in that shit.
He got triggered.
Dude, he got worked up into a tizzy. It was like somebody just like threw gasoline on him and lit him on fire, and he was like, fuck that fucking cunt. Fuck her. Fucking bitch. Fuck her. I mean, he just, it was vicious, man. He went off on her. It's hilarious. If you haven't heard it, it's so good. All right. Well, so after that, we got Paul Lee, Nature Boy Paul Lee, that is, again, Hopper, versus the Night Stalker. Night Stalker comes out to kiss, Doc. War Machine. I remembered.
Super. Do you take care of your kids, too?
Yeah, I do. No. I take really good care of them. So Paul Lee had the bright idea to attack Night Stalker from the ring apron before Night Stalker could get in the ring. And, I don't know if that was such a good move, because this match was over in like 40 seconds after that point. Doc, any thoughts?
My note here is that Paul Lee will take some big bumps for a job guy.
He will. He has no fear.
I thought it was quick, but the Night Stalker, I just don't think he looks 100% confident with that powerbomb yet, which is something that if I'm taken, I want you to be real confident about giving it.
That's a far drop from somebody his size. But the job is also on the person taking it, too.
Yes.
Everybody who takes it from him doesn't look like they're landing it right?
I mean, I'm not saying it's not all on him. He's got to use his muscle. But the guy who's being hoisted up has to sit up and has to make sure he gets up. That way, when he comes down, he's not going to come down awkwardly, and he can make sure he's coming down on his back. And it's a team thing, bro. I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong, but Paul Lee's got to do his part, too. Can we move on? I mean, I'm not coming down on you, man.
If you're done blaming Paul Lee, then I guess
no, I'm not blaming Paul Lee.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You absolutely blamed him.
I want to get him on the show.
He can't get up for him.
Right.
I didn't say he couldn't get it up.
What?
That has nothing to do with this.
Huh?
I didn't say he couldn't get it up.
Whatever.
What are y'all talking about, man? Nobody's saying nothing about getting nothing up.
Who?
Paul Lee does not sit up on that powerbomb. Go back and watch it. It's at like 1940 mark on YouTube. Night Stalker, don't get me wrong, he doesn't muscle him much.
We're only 19
but Paul Lee's got to curl up.
We're only 19 minutes and 40 seconds through this shit. Jesus Christ. Look, can we hit the gas pedal?
Paul Lee has to sit up. I'm going
to
repeat.
I got shit to go do.
All right. So here we go. I'm skipping Night Stalker's promo because
I don't know why. My note here was it's the best one he's cut yet.
You always do this to me. Here it is.
Yeah. Kevin Sullivan, I only need a couple of minutes of your time, boy. You were the master, but you're not anymore. You screwed around and picked on the biggest dog in the yard. 6'8", 310 pounds of man. Remember, I am the Night Stalker. I am hungry, and I will be fed at your expense.
Yeah.
All right, fans, that message.
I didn't say it was good. I said it was the best one yet.
He has a fan base now. You saw the fat bra that had the Night Stalker.
Fat.
Bruh.
Yeah.
I know that cooch smelled like onions and fish.
That's, come on, man.
Well, she did look like Shamu, so that stands to reason.
Ain't nothing really wrong with a big broad every now and then. I mean, come on, man. We didn't all banged a few we ain't quite proud of and that we wouldn't claim.
No.
I know Harper has because he's told me that offline.
I'm Catholic, man.
How many big fat ones have you hit, Harper? Be truthful.
Yeah. Never. Only thoroughbreds.
Okay. You say so. All right, so let's move on. We got something insane that's about to go down.
Let's go out to nature.
You want to tell us where we're at before I hit the play button, Doc?
In the woods.
That's all you got in the woods?
Well, specifically, you know, I don't know that you'll find this on Google Maps, but we're going to go to the Tree of Woe.
I think they did this at a rest stop or something. Because there's too much like sound in the background.
I sure hope that's true.
Let's play it and listen to what Hoffer's saying.
Can you imagine some family just stopping to take a piss and hear this Boston accent off in the woods?
Let's play it.
Hurry,
let's listen to
hurry, it. Son. Don't wash your hands. Just get back in the car.
Let's play it. Here it is.
At my chest, looking for some weakness, maybe because the Stalker turned his back. You see, Stalker, I was on the line of maybe being a good boy, but you see, there is no goodness in my heart. My heart runs black, black like darkness at night. You see, Commissioner Armstrong, a rage in a cage, the Rock and Roll Express with Brian Lee and their partners, Fuller and Golden, can you trust them? You know they're not nice fellows, not good boys. And then my team, the first time ever, the Heavenly Bodies, Kyle and the Tasmaniac, a mindless fool that only I can control, and myself, you see, I have laid with the lepers. I have dined with the beggars. I have gone to the valley of the dead. And I have bathed in the river Ganges. And I have gotten rid of all the niceness, all the goodness that maybe my doctor tried to instill in me. You see, Commissioner Armstrong, I might have been cured at one time. I might have been a nice guy, might have become a family man, might have adopted a few kids or something. But you see, Commissioner Armstrong, you're the one that drove me back over the edge. I have gone to the seventh pyramid and walked up the 13 flights. I have dined with the lady of the third eye, and I've enjoyed her immensely. So put me in a cage. Rage in a cage tonight in Knoxville. All hell's gonna break loose.
that tablet you...
There's an ad in the middle of the show. That is not me, just so you know.
Yeah, no, huh? Dude, what the fuck was that about?
It
happened twice.
It sure did. Hold on. Well, that was actually the end of it. Go ahead, Doc. You got anything?
I think it's an airplane.
Yeah.
My bad. Go ahead.
Kevin Sullivan thinks I'm funny. I think it's an airplane. There's certainly some dogs barking on somebody's grounds that Kevin Sullivan is upsetting. If this feels like a Blair Witch outtake or some shit, here's the thing. I'll buy all of this because I want to, except for the fact that he's tied to the Tree of Woe and he still had time to put on his gold necklace.
Well, that's true.
You're crazy, but you put on your jewels. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, that's what makes it good, too.
New game. Every time Sullivan says, you see, you drink, and you die.
Say that again?
Every time he says, you see, Bob Armstrong, you see.
Yeah, but you could play that game with everybody in a promotion.
You combine that with Dr. Tom, and you will be flying. You'd be ready to beat up your
But there's a lot of people that you'd be able to beat up. A lot of people say, let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. I mean, you could say that with a lot of people. But, hey, that might be fun. We should do that sometime, the drinking game. Harper, did you have anything else from this besides the fact that there was a plane flying in the background? Because I don't think it's a rest stop now that I hear the plane. But I could be wrong.
I was thinking, you think this was someone's, like, backyard or someone that, like, owns some land?
Jim Cornette.
Yeah, they're like, bro, we're going to do this here, but don't disturb my dogs.
It's probably Cornette. It's probably Cornette's house. But you do, there was a dog yelping at one point, wasn't there?
Yes. He pissed the dog off.
Yeah, it's probably Cornette's. Who knows?
And that Boston accent where it's like, in my heart. God. Damn.
What's the odds that this was shot in the same place where Dirty White Boys was shot?
High.
Yeah. Because
it's a sunny day.
His little sidekick guy.
Right. It's a sunny day on this one. But White Boys, it was kind of cloudy. Maybe still kind of winterish up there during that time. You could tell it was cloudy. It was overcast, I should say.
But it always looks poor.
Oh, God. Well, let's move on from Kevin Sullivan. We got the Stud Stable for another promo. Let's listen to what they got to say. Here it is.
All right, fans, right now, let's hear these comments from the Stud Stable. Listen right here.
Jimmy, I'm going to have to take my hat off to you, man, because you got your good one today. I know you're looking forward to it.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make you proud of me. I'm going to make the Stud Stable proud of Jimmy Golden.
I am proud of you.
Stan Lane, I've never seen you in the ring, boy, that you didn't have four or five guys around you, starting with Jim Cornette. This time it's going to be me and you, pretty boy. We're going to see how bad you are. And Jimmy Cornette, you've hit me with that racket your last time, boy. The last time I got in the ring with your man, Bobby Eaton, you cost me that match. This time you will not cost me the match. And Stan Lane, I'm going to put you out, boy.
I love it. You gotta love it. You know, tonight in Knoxville, let's remember one thing, too. And let's remember very clearly out there, rock and roll, don't figure you're gonna get yourself in a jam like you've been in the last few weeks, and we're gonna pull you out of it tonight. You're gonna have to do your own, Brian Lee. You're gonna have to do your own wrestling, man. We're not carrying you guys. We're going out there depending on you as partners to get a job done that well needs to be done. And then, Jimmy, we're going to have the pickings of the losers of the loser. Woo! I'm talking about the winner of the Loser Leave Town match. It's going to have the Stud Stable, and you'll get to be the losers of all time.
God, that's fucking Heavenly Bodies music. Doc, what did you think about the promo?
It's just high quality shit talking. Well, I mean, there it is. You have hit me for that racket for the last time.
We got a little bit of Jimmy there, though, too, finally.
Yeah.
Hopper, do you have anything from it?
He's up this week. He gets to wrestle.
He's telling him, don't fuck up.
Pretty much. All right. So we move forward. We then have, you heard the music, that Stud Stable music. What did you tell me about the Heavenly Bodies? What did you tell me earlier this week, Doc, about the Heavenly Bodies?
I got
bodies?
That goddamn song stuck in my head at work the other day, and it's just painful.
Oh, God.
That bad, huh? Oh. All right, well, we got a match. It's Jimmy Golden versus Stan Lane. Remember, they plugged this at the beginning of last week's episode. I could swear the ring announcer announced Jimmy Golden as Gorgeous Jimmy Golden. Dutch isn't happy, though, because Cornette and Dr. Tom are at ringside, and Dutch leaves during the match I'm talking about. Dutch leaves the announce desk to go ringside to try to make sure Cornette and Pritchard don't get involved. However, Pritchard does get involved at the end. Dutch gets a hold of Pritchard, but the ref still gets bumped. However, when the ref goes down, Corny comes in and to get his hands on Jimmy Golden, who had Stan Lane pinned for the three count. But when Corny goes to drop an elbow on Golden, Golden moves and the elbow lands on Lane. Golden goes down to the pin to pin Lane again. Holy shit, Bullet Bob runs out to make the count, and Golden actually wins the match. Corny is not a happy camper. Doc, throw it to you first. Thoughts on the match and what went down here?
At 25:54, did you see the guy that looked like Dutch in the crowd?
No.
There's a guy in the crowd that looks just like...
25:54, I did not see it. You say he looks just like Dutch?
Just like Dutch. The other, I was wondering if it was Ruben in town to see him some Smoky Mountains.
That guy doesn't look like Dutch. I just saw it. I just rewinded it. Go ahead, Doc.
It was good to see the Studs finally come out of a schmoz on top for once.
I mean, they have done the pin me, pay me quite a lot, haven't they?
Yes.
I mean, they do, you're right. So Golden wins. That was good. Yeah, because think about it, man. They're the champs. The Heavenly Bodies are the champs. They've been protected a lot, even outside of when they weren't champs. And you're right, Lane took the pin here, and Bullet Bob was a part of it. If you think about it, too, that works going with the angle that we're going to see with Bullet and Corny. Right, Doc? I don't know how much Harper's watched ahead, so that's good. After that, they do take us to a Chris Candido promo. So,
the Avenger.
Let's hear from Chris Candido. It's pretty quick, but we'll hear from him. Here it is.
I'm the Suicide Blonde, Chris Candido, the WWA Heavyweight Champion. And out of the goodness of my heart, I wanted to come down to Smoky Mountain Wrestling and defend this championship, the World Heavyweight Championship. And I called, I wrote, I faxed that old fossil Bob Armstrong, and I hear now that he is refusing to recognize this beautiful championship belt as the World Heavyweight Championship. Well, let me tell you something. I plan on getting to the bottom of this situation. I'm going to come down there to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, whether you like it or not, and I'm bringing the most prestigious championship belt in the world with me, and I'm going to show you why I'm the best thing ever to come out of New Jersey. Forget about the boss. You're looking at the real boss.
Wait a minute.
All right, Doc, we got interrupted by a YouTube ad there, and no, I'm not editing it out. Your thoughts from Chris Candido's first promo here?
Well, you know, and I know, and Harper know, that we all thought that when he said he faxed it to Bob Armstrong, he should have tried to fax it to Tim Horner.
Good luck with that.
Right.
Maybe Horner's, nicely- maybe the plug was unplugged.
Yeah.
fax machine. Remember back in the day when people had fax machines, they had the phone cord plugged in to it, and sometimes they would unplug it, and they'd have their phone line plugged in.
Well, and you know Horner didn't know what a fax machine was, so he just plugged it in, and it was like, didn't know why it didn't work.
Whatever. Okay, keep going, Doc. Anything else?
Well, and this is a time, and maybe even today you could do this, where just saying he's from New Jersey was a heel enough move to get him some heat down south. So there you go.
I think it was. Harper, what did you have from it? Anything?
Yeah, because all he's got to say is I'm from Canada, which is saying he's a foreigner, which they're not really foreigners. I mean, let's be honest. But that's all it takes to get these people pissed.
All Canadians are well-behaved Americans.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. At the Eye of Gibson, I'll let you weigh in on that thought from Dot. Doc, what do you think about that? Are all Canadians well-behaved? What did you say, Doc? They're well-behaved Americans?
Yes.
Okay. That's a first for me, but all right. Okay, so after Chris Candido is coming across smug and arrogant, prick heel that's coming in a Smoky Mountain, I think that was fine. We got Jim Cornette, Dixie Dynamite, Scott Armstrong. Oh, I'm sorry, shit. We got Jim Cornette, Dixie Dynamite, and Bullet Bob Armstrong. This is a pretty long promo, but it's very much worth playing. Doc and Harper, do you want to give the importance on this before I play it?
Play it.
Okay.
No, Jim, this is not your interview time.
I don't care. Hey, you ain't telling me what's going to go on. I'll put you in the face, too, Bob. Call it a heart.
You've already had your interview time. This is not for you.
I don't care. Let me just say something, Bob Armstrong. You see, I'm very near having a stroke. You see, I got a lot of problems going on in my life right now. And I know all these people would love to see me drop over and pop arteries out of my neck. And I know that you would love to be the cause of it. But let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. You've gone way too dadgum far right now. Ever since day one, you have been against Jim Cornette. You've been against the heavenly bodies. You've been against everything I've tried to do, and you have done your dead level best to run me out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And that's okay, because I've done the same to try to get you unseated as commissioner. And I don't care whether every single one of these stinking coupon-clipping, food stamp-eating rednecks thinks that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread or not. I've got a different story to tell. Bob Armstrong, you're nothing but a stinking, crooked politician. That's all you've ever been, a stinking, crooked wrestler at one time. And then, since you're so stinking old that you're retired now, you're a stinking, crooked politician. And I personally am ashamed that Smoky Mountain Wrestling has a stinking old redneck like you running it. But let me tell you this, you know, I sit here and I get all upset and I'm about ready to pass out. But you know, I ought to be laughing. I ought to be happy. Because you see, everybody knows that I'm successful. Everybody knows the heavenly bodies are the greatest thing in the world. And everybody knows that regardless of the rage of the cage or the last tangle in Tennessee, we're going to remain that way. But you know something, Bob Armstrong? Everybody's ashamed of you. Wow. Not only these fans, not only everybody at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, your whole stinking family's ashamed of you. You want to know, hey, Dixie Dynamite, that goof running around here with a sock on his face, you know who that is? That's Scott Armstrong. I'll say it right now. That's his stinking son. That's Bob Armstrong's son, Scott Armstrong, who is so ashamed of his old man that he has to wear a mask over his face. He's ashamed to be a member of the Armstrong family. He's ashamed to be associated with a crook like Bob Armstrong, so he wears a mask over his face like a common stinking criminal. That's what Dixie Dynamite is. He's Scott's the heck.
Here is Dynamite.
Let me tell you something, brother. I ain't ashamed of nothing. I am Scott Armstrong. I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe nobody nothing. Let me tell you something, and I want everybody else to know it too. I'm not ashamed of my father. I love my father with all of my heart. He is the most honest man I have ever met. And I'll tell you something else too. He raised me and my brothers to be good-hearted men. Whether I wear a sock on my head, the reason I wore a sock on my head is so that whining mama's boys like you didn't run their mouth to the promotion, Sandy Scott, saying that he's daddy's boy, so let's show him a little favoritism. Brother, I didn't want the favoritism, so I wore the mask because I love my father.
Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, that's a great sentiment, Scott Armstrong, but let me tell you one thing. I don't love your father. Hey, because he's been against me and mine ever since day one. You come out here and you say, I love my daddy. That's why I'm going to wear a sock on my face. Well, I got news for you. I think you're still ashamed. And I'm, hey.
Commissioner Armstrong.
Listen, if you got something to say to somebody, don't be talking about my family. Don't be talking to these fans. Have a little guts. Say it to my face. If you got something to say, say it. For God's sake, just say it to me.
That's exactly what I'll do, Ed. I'll say it to your Ernest T. Bass-looking face with that cap on. I'll say it to you. You are without a doubt the lowest form of human life that I've ever known in my life. You say you're the commissioner and you push a pencil and you tell people where to go and you tell people what to do and you make all these rules and you've been trying to screw me since day one. But it ain't worked and it ain't gonna work, and no matter what you do, it is not gonna work. You know what you're like? You know what you're like, huh? You know what you're like, big man, big barrel chest? You're like a drill sergeant hiding behind his stripes. You're like a police officer hiding behind his badge. You got that commissioner's tie on, and as long as you wear that commissioner's tie, Mr. Commissioner, can't nothing happen to you. Can't nobody punch you in the face. That's what you're hiding behind, is that commissioner's tie.
Hey. If this tie is bothering you, let me solve your problem. It's just a clip-on tie. It comes right off. The shirt comes open. The tie goes down. And it's very simple. It's very simple. The tie's off now. If you got something else to say, let's hear it.
I'm saying to you, Armstrong, you've gone too stinking far. You have tried to best me for the last time. You're not only the only one involved in this, but your family is too. Brad down there in Atlanta, Steve sitting home wherever he is, Peanut Head over there, and it's Brian, the little one, the one that went off and joined the Marine Corps and became known as the world's biggest deserter for hiding off.
Whoa, wait a minute. And Armstrong has got him.
If you ever say anything about my family again, brother, I'm going to knock you out.
You can't talk to me like that.
Oh, and he does, and down goes Cornette. As the commissioner slugged him, and Cornette hits the floor, and he hits it hard, fans. While we get things back together here, let's take a moment to find out more about the Volunteer Slam. Right. Here.
Well, there's a lot there. Harper, you go first, man.
It was true. Like I always said, it's true.
What part?
Everything he said, the whole fucking thing was almost true. He is his kid. He is hiding behind a fucking mask.
Well, I don't know if he was really hiding as much as he was.
Yeah, whatever. He's just hiding, man.
No, but Scott made a good point, though. He was like, I did put a mask on because I didn't want people saying that I was getting special favors. I wanted to earn it.
It was all true. And then when he starts mentioning all the other fucking Armstrongs, and his dad looked like he was legit pissed.
Oh, God. Bullet Bob.
Yeah, Bullet Bob had me hook, line, and sinker that he was legit pissed about this guy talking about his kids.
When he turned his hat backwards slowly, he meant business before he took the tie off. Doc, I know you got a lot to say about this.
No, not really.
Yeah, right.
So, I popped when he turned his hat on backwards. turned his, but I came unglued when he pulled that tie off. It's just a clip on. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
Scott has got a devastating mullet here.
Man.
That thing is just... a panty dry. That'll, you don't need an air dryer. You could just stick a pussy up to that and it'll dry it up in a second, pal.
It's very impressive, the mullet right there. It's nice and long and
but
God.
It's so short on top. That's the problem. I mean, just short and then long. It's there's a lot going on there. Corny means business because he's not wearing his tie when he comes out, which I noticed, which was a little bit of a, he's flustered. When he said, all the way back to the beginning, he had punched Caudle in the face. I mean, Corny is fired the fuck up here. And it's just the back and forth. Everybody who comes into the equation, including Unc Cuddle, is playing their part perfect. The timing is great. Armstrong is just, you know, he's still trying to be the level, you know, hey, you don't have to bring my family, you know, come on now. But then fires up. This shit is there are personal issues littered throughout this. Somebody's going to have to pay. Somebody's going to have to get their ass whooped. And guess what? Somebody's going to want to pay to see it happen. The other thing I'll leave you with is, where were the heavenly bodies during all of this?
Well, Stan had just got beat. Bobby, I guess, is supposed to be gone. That doesn't explain right. Where Dr. Tom is. But the thing that I know you have that question, where are they at? But here's the other problem about that, as you're asking where they're at. Jim is mad right there. So it could be taken that he's coming out, he's pissed off, he's not happy about what's happened. Bobby lost last week. Stan lost this week. He's angry. He's already flustered at Bullet Bob. So he's like, screw this. I'm heading to the desk, and I got to air out my grievances. Now, Corny, to explain why the heavenly bodies aren't there, he thought he was just going up there by himself. He didn't think anybody was out there confronting him. So
that's true.
So to tell the story, they come out, and after the fact, it's Corny at first. He's out there by himself. Remember, he starts this thing off just mad. He's angry. He's calling the people, talking about they got food stamps and coupon clipping idiots in the crowd. He just turned it up. And then is when he calls out. He doesn't even call them out. He's just talking about Scott. And that's like, I'm coming out. Nah. We about to deal with this. So you can ask where they're at, but you got to remember, from the get-go, he's just already mad because of what's been going on the last couple weeks, and he just wants to air out his grievances right here. It just so happened that he pushed the wrong buttons on the family tree there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers your question, Doc, but that was my thoughts on it. Anyway, this was a – Doc's about to get mad. This was taken from an old Mid-South angle when Cowboy Bill Watts slapped the living fuck out of Jim Cornette. And when I say slap, don't get me wrong, Bullet Bob, potatoes, Corny here, but he is he does not slap him as hard as Cowboy Bill Watts did in Mid-South about 13 years prior to this, I believe it was, in 83 or 80, maybe it was early 84. I can't quite remember.
Let me ask you something, years. Partner. Let me ask you something, partner.
Yeah.
So you do a Smoky Mountain Review show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also do, even though we haven't heard it hit the air yet, you do a Mid-South review show. Is that correct?
Proceed.
Yes, well, I've already got him a little bit here. Which promotion, in your valuable opinion, do you think you have more fun watching? And who has a better promotion?
It's not apples to oranges. You have to consider the time.
So
frame
it's
here.
Not apples to oranges. That must mean it's apples to apples. So
no, I'm sorry.
Pick.
Sorry, it's not apples to apples. It's apples to orange comparison. One comparison is you're looking at one promotion from 10 years later in 93 versus another one in 83. There's a big difference in time. There's a big difference in the way wrestling was presented.
Pick one.
Okay, therefore,
therefore,
let me clear this up for you. So I've spent a lot of time going back and doing world class so that I can get in on your review shows there. And I don't mind telling you, even though that's what I grew up on, even though it's hotter than Six Suns, even though it was 10 years prior, that Smoky Mountain Wrestling is a better promotion than World Class Championship Wrestling. And I don't know why you can't do the same.
Smoky Mountain's not better than Mid-South, but there are aspects of it that are. The problem is there's so many things that are done in Smoky Mountain that come from Mid-South. So it's unfair to say it's better. They do things in Smoky Mountain that are better. Yes, clearly. But you're dealing with a different time period. I mean, you're dealing with the early 90s versus the early 80s when you didn't have the commentary. I mean, like, for example, I think the commentary is better. I mean, Dutch and Bob Cottle are fantastic together from the get-go. You didn't have that in Mid-South. I mean, Boyd Pierce is okay, but he's not yeah. What you get with fucking Dutch and Bob every week.
I know what the problem is here.
What's that?
You're still sore because Junkyard Dog couldn't get booked on the first TV program, and you've been holding a grudge ever since.
Yeah, that's it.
Smoky Mountain's too good of a promotion to let a marginal worker like Junkyard Dog into the promotion.
Let's Okay, we'll move on because this conversation will die if we don't. Killer Kyle versus Primetime Brian Lee is next. This match goes about a minute before all hell breaks loose and the refs call for the DQ, giving Primetime Brian Lee the win. When Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies get involved, Rock and Roll Express come out, of course. Basically, it's your normal situation where all hell's about to break loose. It's hitting the fan, man. We got to go, guys. They go to commercial with everyone in the ring. Doc, any thoughts on this literally about maybe 60 seconds before we go to the last promo of the day?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Harper, you?
No, it was just nice to see Killer Kyle wrestle.
He'll fly around on you.
If you want to call wrestle, about 60 seconds. After that, though, we do come back, and it's Rock and Roll Express, Bullet Bob Armstrong, and Primetime Brian Lee. Here we go.
Well, a commissioner right now that's determined to restore order.
Tonight I am no commissioner, I am a special referee, and it's going to be my pleasure to count out either Kevin Sullivan, the evil one, and I don't care if my hand hits the mat or the top of his head. And it's for you, Cornette, like you said, we've gone too far. One toke over the line, sweet buddy. Tonight we're going to get it all done, a rage in the cage, and a rage you ain't going to know nothing about till we leave. I'm leaving right now, I'm getting my referee shirt, and I'm going to that building, and I'm leaving now to get there early.
Let me tell you something, Bob. There's one thing that I want to know. Where is the stud stable? All five of them out there, they said don't let us down. Well, brother, you better not let us down, because if you do, something's going to happen. We are going to hate to be the ones to do it to you.
All right, Primetime Brian Lee.
Everybody's primed and everybody's ready. Rock and roll's going to strut and stroll, and Primetime Brian Lee's going to get his hands on Kevin Sullivan for one time. And we're in a cage, baby. And when you say rage, you're looking at rage standing right here. So I'll tell you what, boys, buckle it up, because it's all coming down in K-Town.
That's right. You see, when Rock and Roll Express and Primetime get together, all we do is create stormy weather. But let me say else, Bob.
Yeah, let me ask you about this, because you guys have got to be looking out for next Saturday. One of your team, either you or, you know, the Heavenly Bodies, somebody's going to be gone next week from Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, that damn sure ain't going to be the Rock and Roll Express, because, Cornette, I hate everything about you, everything about the Heavenly Bodies. Remember one thing, brother, Rock and Roll's here to stay. We're not here to play.
All right, fans, see you next week, and until then, so long.
Doc, any thoughts?
Man, this whole angle's got us one toke over the line, dude.
There's a lot going on. Rage in the cage, and then 6 days, the last tangle deal.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot.
Everybody's so locked into all this that even Primetime Brian Lee wasn't bad there. I was like, holy shit. Everybody's locked in right now. I mean, Night Stalker cut a halfway decent promo. Last week at this taping, Horner wasn't bad. Shit, it's like they had promo class for everybody. God damn.
Horner was teaching it.
Man, and yeah, probably so. Sure. But to have what kind of talking in the building shit is better than the historic Bob Armstrong saying, "I'm heading to the building now. I'll see you there." Shit, man. Let's go.
I
can't wait. Neither should you.
Yeah, man, Bob Armstrong's like, "I'm."
That was perfect.
Yeah.
And then when you look at Bob, he's ready for a fight because he's still got the hat backwards.
He's jacked up. He's fucking bigger than half the roster.
Right. He's standing next to Ricky Morton, and Ricky Morton, like, he's sitting next to Ricky Morton, and Ricky Morton's like he looks so small next to him. But Bob's got his chest open. I mean, his shirt open because he ripped it open in the promo. He's got hair coming out of his chest, and he's got the hat on backwards. He's ready for a brawl. Did y'all notice how Ricky was jonesing for the mic when Brian Lee's talking?
Y'all notice that? And he had to, like, shove him back twice. Like, get the fuck.
I was like, am I the only one that's noticing, like, Primetime Brian Lee keeps pushing him out the way, and Ricky's, like, still nudging his way in? Like, come on, man, wrap this shit up. I got to get my shit in, too. It's good. Good
that
stuff,
was the best
man.
That was part.
Yes, it was. It was. It was. All right. There is a local promo, but I didn't have anything from it. Did you, Doc?
Nah, it's just normal standard issue. I'm coming to beat your brains in kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. I will do disability checks first. I do want to say next week is the 60 episode 68, I should say, from May the 15th of 1993. So what I'm going to do in the show notes or description, I will link that from YouTube in the description of this episode. And the reason I say that is because it's not, it evidently got pulled down from the channel that everyone's watching it on, which is, I can't even remember the guy's name, but I did upload my own version that I have of 68 from May the 15th. Got it from Tim Oreche, BTT Hall of Famer. So it's there. You can find it in the show description. I just want to point that out before everybody's tweeting me and Facebook messaging the show page saying, hey, where's it at? We do have it. So it is there. You'll see it. That's that. Now, disability checks. I am going to go a very, very, very high 9 on this one.
God, you just don't know what you're doing here.
I got to go 9, and it's because of what Corny, that segment, and then we had Ron Wright talking about the Confederacy and why the Confederacy lost. There was so much there. I just had to go 9, man. I thought Kevin Sullivan, insane in the woods. We had Jimmy Golden getting a win. We got Chris Candido playing a schmuck. It was good stuff, man. What are you giving it, Doc?
3.4.
Of course.
Nah, let's bump that up. It's an 8.4. This is a hell of an episode, and you do have a seminal moment with Dixie Dynamite unmasking. I mean, shit, Dixie's been around since day one, and he just unmasked. So that's a big moment. 8.4.
Okay. Harper, you?
I'll say 8.5. I would have given it in an 8, but the whole Dixie Dynamite thing brings it up a notch.
That Dixie Dynamite thing was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really
good.
That
was good TV.
Yeah, it sure the hell was. Oh, man. So good stuff. I mean, Doc, look, I know you're going to argue with me. 8.4 and 9 is not much different. I mean, you're acting like we're in two different stratospheres here.
We gave it a high 9.
I'm a cloud.
What does that... I'm a cloud. God.
I'm a cloud. When I win the NWA world title, I'm not going to be a cloud anymore. I'll be higher than a cloud. If you want to know what we're talking about the World Class episode where Kerry has got a feather in his hair and he's higher than Giraffe Pussy and he's talking about being a cloud before he faces Ric Flair. You can get that by going to the Patreon link. Go ahead, Doc.
When you see the guys they put the belt on for a couple of weeks in the 80s, the young guys, to give them a chance, then you see why it always came back to Rick or Harley.
Yeah.
Tommy Rich and Kerry Von Erich couldn't be trusted to stay sober. And neither could Rick, but at least Rick knew how to do it at the right time of the day, apparently.
Apparently he did, along with beating off twice a day, according to the 30 for 30 documentary. But again, to get access to the world-class episode we're talking about, you'd have to go to tinyurl.com/BTCPatron. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis, and we'd appreciate it if you would do so. I'd like to pay Harper and Doc going forward. So again, it's tinyurl.com/BTCPatron. Shout out to the Hall of Fame patron members who get those episodes every time they drop. R.E. Miller 39, at Justin_Andretti, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, Justin Rasmussen, Shep Daddy 32, at USC 49ers Dodgers, at Gerald Green III, at T-Hog 94, at SV Pageant, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Oreche, Coman 822, at Unconvinced Ray, and at Godbold Unreal. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Let's do our government cheese award.
Let me help you sell this shit. If you're sitting there and you got the Cheeto dust on your fingers and you're thinking, why would I be a patron when I get to listen to this shit for free? Let me tell you why that is, pal. We were talking about this earlier off air. And do you know, you don't, so I'm going to tell you that in 2016, the BTT crew was on the air recording on Thanksgiving morning. It's that kind of dedication that we put to this show that says you need to give us your money and you need to do it now.
Okay, all
Doc,
of it.
I want to say this. We haven't missed since we started. There's been at least, we used to only do one show a week, but there's been one show every single week since starting. We've never missed a show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we don't go off and film the Broken Skull Challenge and mail it in.
Yeah.
Or go on tour with our third-rate rock band, Fozzy.
Oh, the views and expressions right now are of Doc do not necessarily reflect BTT's corporate headquarters over here at Mills Casa de Mills, the one bedroom asylum. Yeah. So let's do some government cheese now. Doc, you go first. I went first last week on it.
Man, this was one of the easier ones and we've had in a while. I think Jim Cornette gets you some cheese, but I guess now that I say that out loud, Bob Armstrong has a case to be made too, even though I think Mike's going to screw this up and give it to Ron Wright.
What do you mean? Like just giving it to Bullet Bob or giving it to the segment?
Well, the segment would obviously get it, but I'm isolating it to Corny because I thought he was just laying it. I mean, he was the constant throughout and he was laying it down.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to agree. I think you got to give it to the whole segment because they both – Corny's flustered, screaming and yelling before Bullet Bob even comes out, so he's airing his grievances. Don't forget that part of it. And then it leads into the mask being pulled by Scott. All, you know, he pulls his mask off, and then Bullet Bob comes out. And Bullet Bob played it perfect, like with the throwing off the clip-on tie and turning the hat backwards, ripping his shirt. Harper, did you have – who did you have?
I got – Scott Armstrong, Dixie Dynamite.
The whole segment or just Dixie?
Well, it's easy to give it to the whole segment, but I figure this is the first time we've seen him do anything besides a fucking Confederate kick.
What about the sparklers, pal?
Yeah, right. And the goddamn sparklers. And I think he shined. And he impressed me. And this whole segment pulled me in. So I'm giving it to him because it's just too easy to give it to Bullet Bob or to Cornette because we expect that from them. But I was surprised by Scott Armstrong. So
Cornette has said when I did his show that time, he talked about how he thought Scott was a better promo than most people gave him credit for.
And I mean, that's what it looked like there.
Yeah, he really showed it right there to me. He's like, I mean, he got emotional. He brought it up a notch. He's like, man, look, man, I wore this mask not to hide my face. I didn't want any special favors. And he was really good with the delivery of it. And then his dad comes in and delivers that. Just great. That dude is made to be a commissioner. Bullet Bob and Smoky Mountain is like the perfect commissioner. I don't know if anybody else can pull that off. But yeah, Scott there was perfect. And that whole segment was just really good TV. Doc and I had a discussion offline. Cornette had told me that he felt he had to go to this too early. He would have loved to have keep Bullet Bob out of things a little longer and not getting physical. And I agree, but Doc, you made a point about why you felt Corny went this route at this time, and it was because people were leaving, didn't you say?
Yeah, my thought, my guess is that, you know, you're getting ready to lose one member of the top two tag teams. The third tag team, which is also an awesome tag team, is about to bolt for WCW. You just lost Orndorff. You just lost Ronnie Garvin. There's a lot of flux in the organization. There's some new guys who, you know, you like. You're bringing in a Blaze. You're bringing in a Sonny. You're bringing in a Candido. But you don't really know what you have there. What do you do in terms of storylines while you get them acclimated and plugged into the stories? So that was my hypothesis. Who knows what else? I mean, maybe Ruben was like, let's go to the whip, you know, down the stretch. Let's press on all this because you don't know.
All right. Yep. So he did say he had to go to it earlier than he wanted. Who knows? But still, we got some good stuff coming out of this going to come in week. So what we're going to do now is
guess what? We're going into our next set of big cards, and I bet it doesn't all get resolved, and we still have stuff to talk about when it's over.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. So we're about to lead into May the 15th of 93 in episode 68. Again, I'm going to link it in the show description, so you'll have to check there, so don't miss it. And I think it's actually the next 2 weeks are going to recap these big cards. I don't think they recap it in one. Does that sound right, Doc, or am I not remembering it?
I don't fucking remember. Jesus Christ.
All right, I was just trying to get you to put yourself over, but you can't fucking take the ball and run with it and score from the 1 yard line because you're a fucking asshole.
I don't need to get a handoff from you, pal.
Oh, you're getting as many handoffs right now as Ezekiel Elliott's been getting.
Pal, he just, while we were on the air this morning, got reinstated. And we
did, he really?
God damn.
Did he really? Did he really?
The point of even suspending someone.
Did he really?
There is none.
Did he really? Are you bullshitting me?
Yes.
I'm 100% for his shoes, pal. They got judge. They got to found another judge to say, come on over, pal.
So here's the point about that is it's November the 3rd, 2017, that we're recording this.
This will make no sense.
This will air like first week in December. And he'll still be playing. Or he would have been suspended, reinstated again by that point.
Whatever.
Anyway. Okay. I got to remind you all, please use the Amazon referral link. It is the holiday season. We'd appreciate it. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Give it to your wives. Give it to your girlfriends. Give it to anyone in your family who spends money and uses Amazon on a regular basis. Tell them to bookmark it, load up their shopping cart, make all the purchases they can. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. And don't forget the patron link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Look, not only do you get the patron-only episode, which there's probably over 40 in there by now, along with the world-class episodes, but you can get a chance to come on a show, and if you want to cut a promo on Doc Harper or myself,
come on.
They don't have the fucking balls.
Come on down, pal. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
The Price is Right, the T-Rex. Doc. Inside joke, I'm sorry. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've been getting a few more lately. We'd appreciate it if you'd throw a 5-star review on there and review the, you know, put some nice comments for us as well. Go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button. Purchase a couple of our pro wrestling tees. Also, check the show description. The Tee Public store is there as well, where you can get a load of other, not only t-shirts, but you can get like hoodies, hooded sweatshirts, long sleeve shirts, all that good stuff you can get on our Tee Public store. And then follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper and all his bitches are at CJH. Who dat? Lastly, check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. My friends Brian Malonis and Mike Crockett do their thing twice a week. Just search WPAM where you get your podcast from. They do their classic. They do a lot more classic stuff now, so check them out. For Doc, I think he's done. I'm all tuckered out. Doc, are you tuckered out?
Yes.
Yes, Drew. Hey, I just want to leave this teaser out there leading into next week. We are in the process in the next 3 weeks of seeing someone who is a longtime pro wrestler, a very big part of this promotion from the start, is going to be gone.
Fuck.
Just going to say that.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia. Harper, if you don't have nothing, hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.